It's been said that Syrian President Bashar al-Assad's days are numbered. But today, according to Syrian state TV, Assad was conducting serious business, attending the swearing-in of his new defense minister. The old one, along with two other key aides, were killed yesterday in a bombing in Damascus. Moments after that attack, the government responded by bombing Maidan neighborhood of Damascus, captured on videotape and posted on YouTube. The cameraman is describing the destruction to homes and businesses. He says, "Look, oh humanity, look at this destruction. Maidan is burning, bleeding, dying. Save us," he says. At a meeting of the United Nations Security Council today, Russia and China both vetoed, for the third time, a Western-backed measure to impose new sanctions and extend the mission of UN observers. Dr. Najib Ghadban is a founding member of the main opposition group, the Syrian National Council. He's also an associate professor of political science at the University of Arkansas. And Dr. Ghadban, your reaction to the vote?
This is a very negative move on the part of Russia and China. As you mentioned, for the third time, they're obstructing the Security Council to be able to carry out its function, which is to preserve security and stability. What really the resolution does is to lend support to the Annan mission, the only political initiative trying to find a peaceful solution to this conflict, to this crisis, to, in fact, this humanitarian tragedy. So basically, again, this is could lead, in fact, to further destabilization and violence.
You've said that yesterday's bombing was a major blow to the government. Assad is reported to have left Damascus for a coastal city. What should we expect to see in coming days in Damascus and in other cities?
We've seen expression of joy among many of the citizens of Syria because these individuals were responsible for repression, for killing Syrians, for committing crimes against humanity, as been documented by the Human Rights Council and other human rights organizations. We've seen more defections from within the armed forces. At the same time, retaliation by the Assad loyalist forces against civilian a neighborhood in Damascus. In one, in fact, incident, we've seen these forces fired a missile at a funeral, killed about 95 peaceful participants in the funeral. All of these things indicate into one thing, and that is we are going to see more violence in the short run. But I think the general trend, we see the collapse of a regime that has opted to use only violence in response to legitimate demands of the Syrian people.
If the Assad regime fails, you've said that a transitional government would include members of the present government and the military, who've been behind a lot of this violence against Syrians. Wouldn't having the military and old government involved delegitimize any new government?
We say we could accept members of the regimes in any transitional government on one condition, that these individuals have not been implicated in crimes against Syrians. We do make that distinction. So basically the criterion, no, we will not, in fact, allow anyone who's proven to have participated in repressing and killing the Syrian people. The other, of course, maybe source of participants could be the technocrats in government. Those have not been implicated. So the main criteria for inclusion or exclusion of members of the current regime is, whether they committed crimes against Syrians or not.
We've heard reports that Assad's government may be moving some of the country's chemical weapons from storage facilities, and the King of Jordan is warning that they could be seized by al-Qaeda. Are you worried that the chemical weapons will either be used by Assad or taken by others?
We are very concerned about, in fact, these reports. So far, we haven't seen any evidence that the regime has used these weapons. But what we know is that there are huge stockpiles of these weapons. They did move some of them. The concern, in fact, is really more that if they get so desperate, they might use them in maybe certain areas. Let's not forget this regime used snipers against Syrians, artillery, tanks, helicopters, and now even aircraft. So the concern, if they feel they are, threatened, their existence is threatened, they might, out of desperation, use that. This is why we're concerned. We call upon the international community, including countries like Russia, which continues to support the Syrian regime, to send a clear message that this is a red line, that these weapons would take the kind of conflict into a different level. These are forbidden by international law, and the mere thought, in fact, of using them can be terrifying.
About 10% of Syria's population is Christian, and there's also a significant Muslim Alawite minority, and these groups have been supported and protected, really, by Assad. Do you worry they'll be persecuted if Assad falls?
We need to make a distinction between the Christian community, which, in fact, the regime does, claim that they protect minorities, but that's far from the truth. The Christian community has been silent. It has not taken part in any of the killing against Syrians, but they are concerned, and these concerns are some of them legitimate. That's why we're in the opposition. We've been sending a lot of assurances to them. We have some prominent Christian in the Syrian National Council, but the main problem really with the Alawite community, that community where Assad draws most of his loyal security chiefs. And many of those, in fact, have been implicated in using atrocities against Syrians. But there, too, we make a clear distinction between those and the majority in the community who are, in fact, again, silent. They have been used by the regime to give the impression that their existence might be at risk.
One more question. What if the bomb that was set off yesterday was done by an Islamist faction from outside Syria?
Well, I think so far there have been exaggeration about the non-Syrians taking part in maybe the armed opposition to the Assad regime. We have something called the Free Syrian Army, which is made up mostly of defectors who refuse to open fires at peaceful demonstrators, and volunteers who, after 6-7 months of peaceful protest, decided to carry up weapons in self-defense. We've heard of, maybe a few instances in which non-Syrians have made it into inside Syria. It's a very, very small number. Don't believe they have the capability to carry out the kind of bombing that took place yesterday. Those who carried out the bombing yesterday are members from within the same elite unit that the regime, in fact, rely. This is an inside job to a large extent, and it's welcomed by Syrian because it's one of the way to hasten the fall of the regime and to maybe lessen the cost of the transition, which is coming. Syrians have no doubt that this regime is going to fall and they have a better future.
Dr. Najib Ghadban is a founding member of the main Syrian opposition group, the Syrian National Council. Thank you for speaking with us.
Thank you so much for having me.
More on Syria ahead, back in a minute, here and now.